Last time I left, not last time, last year, I left, I took the train, overnight train, so it was quite literally on this year. Some complication. I couldn't get on the bus, but I had to go all the way down to Houston to get on. Just in terms of the time that was available, 2 days, I flowed in on the first flight and left on the last flight. And cut time short. So this gave me an opportunity. I don't have really narrow berths, but like this. So if the train bumps, then you roll up. To wake up to keep from rolling out of bed. Even with his sakana, which was the silver.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay. Great verse.
Eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thoughts. I am now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. I can now give my children enough estate. I am now successful. The poor beggar sannyasi is to depend on God, but they come to beg from me. Therefore, I am more than the Supreme God. These are some of the thoughts which engrosses the insanely attached householder, who is blind to the passing of eternal time. Our duration of life is measured, and the one is able to enhance it even by a second against the scheduled time ordained by the Supreme Will. Such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent, because even a second passed away imperceptibly cannot be replaced, even exchanged for thousands of golden coins amassed by hard labor. Every second of human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to the problems of life, i.e. repetition of birth and death and revolving in a cycle of 8,400,000 different species of life. The material body, which is subject to both birth and death, disease and old age, is the cause of all sufferings of the living beings. Otherwise, the living being is eternal. He is never born, nor does he ever die. Foolish persons forget this problem. They do not know at all how to solve the problems of life, but become engrossed in temporary family affairs, not knowing the eternal time is passing away imperceptibly, and that the measured duration of life is diminished every second, without any solution to the big problem, namely, repetition of birth and death, disease and old age. This is called illusion. But such illusion cannot work on one who is awake in the devotional service of the Lord. Yudhisthira Maharaj and his brothers, the Pandavas, were all engaged in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, and they all have very little attraction for the illusory happiness of this material world. As we discussed previous seminars, we receive a fixed in the service of Lord Mukunda, the Lord whom we can avoid salvation. And therefore he had no attraction even for such comforts of life as are available to him. Because even the happiness obtained on the planet of Malakha is also temporary and illusory. Because the living being is eternal, he can be happy only in the eternal abode of the kingdom of God, Paravyoma, from which no one returns in his region of birth and death, disease and old age. Therefore, any comfort of life or any material happiness which does not warrant an eternal life is but illusion for the eternal living being. One who understands this factually is learned, and such a learned person can sacrifice any amount of material happiness to achieve the desired goal known as Brahma Shukam, or absolute happiness. Real transcendentalists are hungry for this happiness, and as a hungry man, cannot be made happy by all comforts of life, minus foodstuff. So the man hungry for eternal absolute happiness cannot be satisfied by any amount of material happiness. Therefore, the instructions described in this verse cannot be applied to Maharaj Yudhisthira or all of his brothers and mothers. It was meant for persons like Dhritarashtra, for whom the Guru came especially to impart lessons. Devam grihesh saktanam pramatanam tadivaya chakraman davigyatam kala paramadushtara. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. Prabhupada begins by explaining that we do have an allotted time. We're meant to live this long. I mean by time, measure of time. It may be 25 years, maybe 105 years. But that's our karma. That's our past karma. And unless we start tinkering around with it and trying to extend it or shorten it by doing some kind of extraordinary activity, that's how long we live. But whatever gain you lose, whatever time you gain or win in this life, you'll lose in your next one. So it's overall, there's no gain or loss. Whatever time is allotted, that's the time you get. And of course, what's the purpose? Living here in this material world, it's where was I going to lose? I mean, just look at this. This is not like, it's not exactly heaven. It's not palm trees everywhere, and the wind is blowing nice, pleasant breezes, and it's always around 25, 30 degrees, and mangoes hanging off the trees, and you don't have to work. In other words, it isn't heaven being here. I'm reminded of chickens. You know, you see chickens early morning in the courtyard, they're out there. They're digging for something you can't even see in the hard earth, and that's their happiness. So even by standards of material sense enjoyment, it's pretty low class. There's not much going on around here. There's no Prabhupada. Said that Hawaii was like the heavenly planets, if you want to enjoy it, that's where someone should go. And then, of course, there's the heavenly planets, and things are much more luxuriant and much more wonderful there. I had last year one long discussion with one devotee who revealed to me that actually he can't fix his mind on going back to God, that he's just so fixated on going to the heavenly planets. That was interesting because it was sort of the first real die-hard enjoyer I'd met in quite some time. But at least, you know, he was willing to give this up. He recognized in this world it's not worth it. It's not worth going through austerities to try and enjoy on this planet. So meager, and it's so endangered in Kali Yuga being around here. But he said he just couldn't stop thinking about going to the heavenly planets,
includes lots of celestial women over there, and celestial gardens, and there's no, and you know, you don't have children, you don't give birth like that, your children just come out of the area full born, and there's no sin for illicit sex. Sounds like heaven. At least it did to him. So he said, well, is it all right if I'm chanting Hare Krishna? No desire to go there. I said, well, you know, so what can I say? Sama, Sarvakama, Mokshakama. Keep chanting Hare Krishna, and let's hope you get tired of that desire. He says, yeah, I want to go to Vaikuntha, but I want to stop off. I want to stop off for the one. Anyway, at least he's, you know, using the right instrument and to be up to the holy name. And Krishna, whether Krishna himself could really sort of cut his desire. And because Krishna then says, Yahasa Anugrahami Harishita Hamshana. Yasyaham Anugrahami Harishita Hamshana. It says, if I actually favor someone, then even though then this verse is described extrapolated on by Krishna's Kavaraj Goswami, that if my devotee worships me, but he worships me for some particular purpose. He says, and if that devotee is dear to me, because he's done some service, thank you. He's done some... is that air? Huh?
Is that orange juice?
Yes.
No, but... I thought you just brought me some air. There's a shortage. Never know anymore. I mean, where did this oranges come from? Who knows? They came from some whole other part of the world. There are no oranges growing.
Spain. So. We get our oranges from Spain.
From where?
Spain. They export to France.
Spain.
yes. Half of Spain is really for providing us with our foodstuffs.
You have Spain, do you have orange orchard there? Yeah, so it's better than nothing, but that's so Krishna, if he's favorably attached to a devotee, favorably attached because that devotee's really done some, he's drawn Krishna's attention, he's done some significant service. Then Krishna says, yes, saham anugrahani harishe tadam sham, that he takes away their material attachments and he fulfills their desires in such a way that they don't want any more material desire. So he may think he's going to heavenly planets, but Krishna may not fulfill that desire. So let's like say, wait some more to another, who knows how long, half day of Brahman in heavenly planets. So it just purifies heart. That's if Krishna's particularly favorable. But now here, a given period of time, And that time is meant for self-realization. But this time is it's a very interesting thing. We have one devotee in Hungary who's a physicist. So I was talking with him recently. And he was explaining to me his theories on the basis of statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this was pointing out how there were this has nothing to do with time. Well, it was involved with how the hex atoms that are described in the Bhagavatam. So when these hex atoms actually link in a circle, then they become source of atoms and electrons, which we have in the elementary chart. But when they move straight, then that becomes light. That's what light is. So light and energy, the scientists know that they're connected, but they don't know how. So that was quite interesting, I found. And of course, all of these things are all taking place under the influence of time, which is also something that is very difficult to define as to what time is. When you look at your watch, what time is it? It's 5 to 8. That's not what time it is. It's just what your watch says. So it's got nothing to do with time. It's just that, you know, we know that time's going by, and we have arbitrary divided up time into so many units, and we say that it's 5 past 8. But it doesn't tell us what it is, what time is. What time is it? Well, or what is time? Well, we can't say what is time. We can just say that, well, so much of it has gone by. Whatever it is, so much has gone by. And then we see the effects of it. It's a good example of something that you don't have to see, but you really see its results. And everyone judges. Everyone judges your age, looks, your health, lifespan, how good the vegetables are. There's so many things depend on the influence of time. And it's similar to, you know, understanding the influence of the soul within the body. You can't see it. There's no way you're going to see it. But you cannot explain how this body exists, moves, without having to resort to a transcendental source of consciousness whose influence is spread throughout this body. Consciousness cannot come from matter. It must come from something that is non-material. It is consciousness itself. Therefore, that consciousness itself of the soul, we see consciousness throughout the body. Sometimes we see different grades of consciousness. Our ability to be conscious of ourselves, of each other. So there must be a soul. If there can't be anything else, there must be a soul there. And in the same way, there must be time. What we're really doing is we're seeing the effects of time. And for an intelligent person, he should realize what is the effect of time. Krishna says, Kalasmi Loka Kshayakrit Pravritha. He says, I'm time, and I've come to kill everyone. So this picture you have of the Grim Reaper, I mean, that's death. So time is actually the harbinger of death. It's forecaster of death. Time is telling you you're dying. And then on the other side there's Maya, or illusion. That despite the fact that I'm dying, whatever period of time I find myself in, I know that death is certain. So I'm going to die at this stage. And at some point I'm going to die, but in the meantime, I'm not doing that which people should be doing, responsible people should be doing, who know that they're going to die. I'm just sort of like fiddling about. And if someone's going to kill you, what should you try and do? Get away. Solve the problem of death so that he can't kill you. It's pretty logical. It doesn't require a diploma. If someone's going to kill you, you know at a certain time they're going to kill you, then you should avoid that death. Don't let them kill you. And you have to figure that out. So that takes time. So, yeah, all right, but you've got time. How much time have you got? You've got as long as it takes until you hit that point. That's what life is. So life is giving you the time to figure out how to solve this problem of death. Now, actually, Krishna already begins the Gita by saying, well, anyway, in a jayate, in a viyate, the soul isn't born and the soul doesn't die. Well, that's all right. Except the problem is that I'm not thinking like that. So then Krishna continues to encourage us that we need to learn how to be in that consciousness where we're conscious of our soul rather than being conscious of our body. It's a matter of awareness. Something's happening behind me in the adjoining building. I don't see it. I don't know about it. Therefore, I don't become attached to it. Therefore, whatever's going on has got nothing to do with me. Well, something's going on in this body. But here, the Prabhupada uses this word tati haya, engrossed in this body. But if a person is just engrossed in their body, if the soul is engrossed in the body, then he becomes concerned, attached, and distracted by all the activities of the body. But if he's living in this body, it's like I'm in this house, I don't know what's going on next door, I don't know what's going on over there. And everything is more or less, all right, just the routine is going on, but aside from that, I don't allow my consciousness to go there. Then all right, then it dies. What's the big deal? If the gross body dies, then all right, Adi again, another one, which will be a better one, or you go back to that. Because the absorption is where I am. In myself, in my real, true, spiritual identity. And here are these words that are being used, insurmountable. In other words, don't try and fight it. There's nothing you can do to stop time. I'm going to build a big wall. Was it there was one, someone built a tower? Some fable where they built a tower so the time couldn't touch them? Something like that. Anyway, it's another foolish attempt. Obviously it doesn't work. And somehow, well, eternal time, and it's eternal. You can't wait, well, just wait it out. You can't wait it out. It's going to wait you out and so many other foolish people like the Yonikashipus and the Napoleons and everyone else, and they're all gone. Imperceptibly, but it moves so slow. It's patient. That's why, because time is patient, then you say, it's okay, I got time. Don't be too fanatical now. You have lots of time. You know, it's like 50, 60 years of life, and you have a lot of time to make it up there because it's coming imperceptibly. It's coming very, very slow, and so you trust in time. You trust in this gradual creep of time, very systematic, and it makes us think that, well, we've got time, when actually we don't have any time. Yesterday I had a really busy day, and morning I got up, I immediately started writing, and I did some letters, then I puja, then I packed, then I went, had this GBC meeting from 9:30 to 4 o'clock, and then I went back to had a meeting with Jamuna, Krishna Chaitanya's Bhajamuna, and Then I went to Gauri Prabhu's place, and we talked, and then I went over for supper to Ramashwar's house. And from there I went to Houston, and we got on the train. And when I went to Ramashwar, we were sitting around, and we were talking about one devotee lawyer, I forget what his name is, because well known because he was doing court cases for Vrindavan Temple and other places. Shruti Dharma was saying that, yes, that's such a devotee, we just got the news. He was walking down the street, 38 years old, he was walking down the street, and he just dropped dead. Look at that. Just walking down the street in Bangalore, he just dropped dead. Heart attack. Bounce. When it's up, it's up. And it's maybe 35, 38, maybe 8. That also happens. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and always engrossed in their thought. In other words, I'm always engrossed in this body and the body of others, and I just don't notice that it's coming, and then one day it's like a dragon. All of a sudden it's all over. And the Yamadutas are here. And then it's too late. So that's called wisdom. Wisdom is this shreyas and prayas. Not to live in the immediate moment or for the immediate moment, but actually to live in knowledge of the future, being very clear about what our goals are and where we want to go. And for that, someone is willing to sacrifice, to exert sense control, and always very much keeping in your mind that I had to buy a pungsan, so Goswami says this later, that the sun is rising. By rising and setting, the sun decreases the light of those who are attached to bodily concept of life. For those who are fixed in their spiritual identity, time can't touch them because the soul is eternal. But those identifying with all of these other things, and that's why evam griheshu shaktanam, it's these things, it's griheshu, it's really, really hammers at home, so to speak. So bodily identity is always there because we're here. But husband and wife, and the interaction, husband and wife means you have to see the body, which means you have to be body conscious. Otherwise, if you see a wife with spirit soul, you lose the purpose of the marriage. So I mean, you also see your spirit soul, but that's not the reality of what takes place. So just the fact that husband and wife react, then that strengthens this bodily tie. Evam griheshu sakana. And then on top of that, children who are completely on the bodily conception of life, because they just relate to what they see and feel and hear and touch. So they come out from this deep tamagun, and they invoke that type of reciprocation. You don't go around to a baby and say, your spirit soul, don't get too attached to your mother. Just you need, the baby wants to drink the breast of mother's milk. It reinforces bodily identity, and you can't do anything about it. Because that's the way it's meant to be. All one can do is actually keep oneself in a, and by that, Jiva Tamam Prapadyante, because they reciprocate with this, then I can't even increase that relationship more and more. So it's only transcendent knowledge and constant purification of the heart of devotional activities that allows one to have this type of necessary griheshu saktana,
the attachment to family life, because you can't have a sterile family life where everyone's like dealing with each other like machines or something like that. So it has to be personal, but in order for that personal not to degrade one, then there requires to be good Krishna consciousness and spiritual values. Otherwise, pramata. Later on, Prahlad Maharaj uses the same word, pramata. Nuna pramata. So if you pramata, pramata means, mata means that someone's crazy, intoxicated, and pramata means very completely intoxicated. So it's a juggling act, a balancing act, and that's something that devotees have to know how to do. We're doing it all the time. It doesn't matter whether you're brahmachari or grihastha service sannyasi, or until someone's actually in a fully liberated state, he's always juggling the bodily obligations with the spiritual obligations and trying to keep a right balance. And then if one comes to the liberated stage, then still he has to perform, because even if you're liberated, you still have to perform so many bodily activities, which may appear to be actually just the same. But they have to be done. But then obviously it's no longer a issue that they're being done at a risk. There's no risk. That's what we want to be able to achieve. So Srila Prabhupada's formula for devotees wasn't that they should just all en masse march off to the Himalayas, some devotees once recommended that we ship all the women in ISKCON off to Australia, and then the rest of the world is for the men. But that we actually recognize that, yes, there is a risk, there's a manageable risk. You can manage that risk in a very positive way to take us forward towards Krishna until you get to the stage where you're at no risk. And it's possible by good, strong spiritual practices. And this type of consciousness that's in the back of my mind, I have to be careful. Beware of my that was George Harrison's song, right? It's a good song. Beware of mine. So we should always be very, very careful. We have to beware of mine. We have to beware of the influence of time. We have to be aware of the attraction of the body and how we have to function with that. But also, we have to learn how to insulate ourselves from it, inoculate ourselves with transcendental knowledge. Just like, you know, there's a flu virus going around, so you're out there meeting hundreds, thousands of people every day. I mean, you know, devotees are just, it's obvious that you're going to contact disease, because that's how it comes, by meeting people and so on. But when you get an inoculation, then even though you're in the midst of it all, because you're inoculated, it has no effect. So same thing, morning programs, sadhana, chanting, good, strong spiritual practices, then Jiva Mukta Sarichati, then it gives one the status of being liberated or freed from the influence of those material things. A wonderful thing. Okay, I'll stop there. Anyone have any questions? Quick, because
it could be argued that you never really leave the spiritual world, because when you go back, there's no such thing as time. Somebody else thinks that you're eternal when you actually go back to the spiritual world. You do not die in the world.
But in the meantime, you're here. And this time here. And we're in that consciousness of suffering, and we're separated from Krishna, and Krishna's aware of that. No, it's not that there's no time like this time, but there's a different type of time. And it is a time that gives us an awareness that, gives Krishna an awareness that we're gone. And he's missing us, so. No, it's. I can just as easily say, well, actually, we're in a spiritual world, it's not cold. But it is, because we're here. Days of marathon, which is going to the weekend. And hope the Buddhists get the opportunity to distribute lots and lots of books. Yeah.